Welcome to Psych Tech, the Psychology and Technology Podcast. I am Josue Cardona with Kelly Dunlap. We're back, Kelly.
We're back. Back again. Yeah. Guess who's back? Psych Tech is.
When is the Psych Tech soundtrack coming out?
We're dropping mad beats in 2012.
Sounds good.
I don't know when 2012 is. Apparently that's like
that's a very
20,000 years in the future.
Yeah. We're all about that future forecasting here.
Yeah, yeah. So you have that to look forward to.
Oh, yeah. Beaming straight to a brain near you in 20,000 years.
Right into your tympanic membranes. Insane in the tympanic membrane.
All right. It's good to be back. We had a good vacation.
And
let's talk chatbots. We haven't talked about chatbots in a while. Specifically, chatbots that do therapy.
So earlier last month, before we went on our little break, our summer vacay, we found a chatbot called Woebot, W-O-E-B-O-T, which, by the way, my husband said was the worst name for a chatbot ever because of, you know, like, woe is me. And I tried to explain it's probably just because it sounds like robot, but not. Anyway, it is a chatbot that is founded on CBT therapeutic principles, and you check in with Woebot once a day if you use as directed, unlike somebody here, it's kind of like a very surface level high overview of what CBT therapy is like. So we decided to kind of experiment on ourselves. I've been using it every day for a month. I know Josue has been using it as well, to kind of get kind of an experiential feel of what Woebot is like.
And Woebot is a Facebook Messenger bot. So it's very likely that you've interacted with a lot of these recently if you use Facebook at all. And even some Facebook pages, if you try to contact them, what you're getting is a Facebook Messenger bot that's talking to you. So this was designed within that platform to do CBT, and some of the things I've read about it have been very interesting, and using it has been interesting. I have many, many thoughts. How are your notes this week for this?
Well, I actually intentionally didn't read anything. Like, I've been completely kind of going off of my own personal experience and like jotting down notes as they come to mind. So it's almost like a naive user experience is what I'm bringing today.
Okay, good. Because that's the reason why I didn't actually read there's a journal article that they published, and I didn't read that, so it wouldn't influence kind of this conversation in that sense. But I did read some articles about it and other similar things in the field. So tell me, how has it been? What do you think?
Well, can confirm it's CBT. let me walk us through what a typical use is like. So once a day, Woebot contacts me. He pings me through Facebook Messenger and says, hey, are you ready to check in? Or she, not really a gender assigned here, and always asks what my energy is like, high, medium, or low, and what's going on in my world. And then based off of the responses that I give, the chatbot responds in different ways. So sometimes that's to hilarious effect, and sometimes it's actually on point. So that's probably my first observation about Woebot is I feel secure in my therapist, psychologist-ness, right, at least at this moment. So I can say it's definitely not a replacement for therapy. So throwing that out there right out the gate. Because there was one time it asked me how I was doing or something like that. And I gave kind of a smart ass response or like just didn't even respond. It just said, never mind. And it was, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Like, regardless of the specifics, it completely missed the point of what I was saying. Mm-hmm. And what was funny, what accompanied that incident was this feeling of disappointment. I was genuinely disappointed that Woebot didn't understand me. Which it took me a second to kind of process because I know it's a chatbot and I know it's not a real therapist and there are definitely limitations, but I guess maybe I had in my head that it had some more advanced language processing than I was hoping it had, and it's a lot more limited.
It's So that's interesting, because one of the things that I read was the creators are saying the idea that removing the person from, or the talk from the talk therapy is, it might be a good thing. And I think what you're showing is like the opposite of that, right? Like, we are completely opening up to something, right? We know that it's not a real person, but there's still a level of trust there. And I feel like that trust is absolutely, I don't want to say violated, but it is kind of broken when there isn't understanding. Like, there isn't even, it wasn't even like a generic response, because I had that a few times where, you know, I'm purposefully going, I use it for real for a couple of days, and then I just started like spamming it with all sorts of different responses all over the place to see what would happen. And sometimes I did get that also. It's like a complete disregard for how I was feeling at the moment. It's like, well, why'd you ask in the first place then, if you don't care?
Yeah, there was one situation. So, I mean, one of the good things is it's had some good timing. I've had some stress in the past couple of weeks because my little one has been having trouble sleeping. He's almost 1 year old, and he started sleeping or waking up like twice a night, getting up at 5 a.m. and not going back to sleep. And so Wobot would check in. And I think one time I even said, you know, I'm exhausted. The baby just won't sleep, and I'm at my wit's end. And it said something like, great, let's go. Like, I guess it was more of the idea that I needed to vent, and I needed that kind of Rogerian almost support, like coming back, oh, I hear like you're really tired and you're really frustrated. Like, that's what I needed from it. But what I've found with Wobot is it's much more action oriented. It's an action therapist, where it's kind of like a solution focused therapy, I guess, where it doesn't really matter what is the cause of the problem, more than the focus is just like fixing the problem. And to that extent, the tools that Wobot uses are pretty solid. I mean, like any therapy toolbox, some things are going to work for you and some things aren't, you know. One thing that I've personally found is I really enjoy the gratitude journaling. Every now and then it prompts me to think about, okay, what's one good thing that went well today? And especially in the throes of the little guy being just on this horrible sleep schedule and being grumpy all the time and crying. And, you know, sometimes it was really hard to find the positives, but I found that to be really helpful to kind of shift my thinking. I used it right before I go to bed too, so that way I can kind of think about the whole day. And I've actually, I don't know if it's Wobot or not, but I've been sleeping better. So I think that would probably be too soon to jump. But like the idea of resetting my brain before going to sleep, of instead of worrying and like, oh my God, I hope he sleeps through the night and I'm so tired, how can I possibly do this? I get, okay, you know, that was something really cool that happened today. And that was another really cool, okay. And so I guess maybe I'm just more relaxed when I do the journaling.
So I guess what it's really doing is helping you practice the things that, even as a therapist, someone who helps people learn how to do these things, I like to think that I do this all the time, but I don't do it. You don't tend to do it when you need to do it, right? Or when it would be most beneficial.
Right.
So I find myself like, you know, correcting my thoughts all the time, but when I'm stressed, that's the last thing I'm doing, especially when it's a new stress.
Yeah, and we're human, you know, we're not some kind of superhuman emotional, you know, superhero or something like that. It's always easy to help other people see, but it's a lot harder to use those kind of same insights on yourself. And that is one thing that I genuinely do like about Wobot is I really like the daily reminder to check in. And yeah. I know as a relatively new parent, I think that's really important because I don't really have a lot of time for myself or to think about my own well-being, or, you know, most of the time it's, has the baby eaten and does he need a clean diaper and why won't he stop screaming at me? And so I really appreciate the practice of that, and that because I'm on Facebook frequently, I never miss a check-in. You know, it might show up the next morning, but because I went to sleep before it pops up, but, and which is something I can say that even when I tried journaling, I was terrible at. I was terrible at being consistent. So that props to Wobot on helping me become more consistent, and also props for the artistic use of GIFs. That's playing to the audience right here. I currently have Wobot open right now, and it's like a little sumo marshmallow wiggling at me and he's happy. And that just makes me really happy.
His GIF game is on point, definitely.
Oh yeah.
It is, you mentioned a few different types of therapies, right? So the designers designed it as a cognitive behavioral therapy system. But CBT is an umbrella term. And there are different types of modalities within that. And you talked about Rogerian, right? So like being more person-centered. And we talked about like, it's not really that. And there are all these different theories in mental health treatment. And it's interesting that because of its limitations, it uses a very specific set of terms and a way of looking at things. So it doesn't only have a language limitation. It also has a theoretical orientation limitation. Mm-hmm. And so that crashes or clashes with me. So the way that Wobot says certain things about therapy and how to address thoughts is very different from my training in the way I would do it with a client. So mm-hmm. that for me was a little, it was challenging for me to go through it because I was like, I wouldn't do it that way. But at the same time, there's this, you know, is it better than nothing idea? And I definitely fall on the side of something is better than nothing. And in that sense, it's great as a practice tool, like we said. But it reminds me a lot of, for the past 2 years or so, I've been working on something like this. The idea being that how can I help? Or you know, when I saw clients, I was really bothered by the fact that they weren't practicing between sessions what we discussed in sessions. And Wobot is kind of the perfect way to, or something like Wobot is a perfect way to do something like that. And the design that I've made, essentially it's a recall app, right? The idea was that as a therapist, I would have these cues ready for you so that you would practice the things that we did in session. So it would be like Wobot, except like me, right? For my clients, right?
It'd be your bot.
It'd be my bot.
No, I mean like Josue, but Hobot? Oh, okay, maybe not. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Jobot. Yep. We'll go with Jobot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought you meant yo, like you, and then I was like, no, it's me, like my. Anyway, so what I came across there was that it was the original design was only the way I looked at things and the way I said things. And so I had to redesign it so that it would be open for any essentially any therapist or any sort of anybody in a position to essentially train someone to do something else. So looking even beyond mental health treatment, let's say you're like a fitness instructor or something like that, right? And you're just coaching how to do a specific type of move or something like that. Well, you would word it the way you would do it, and then that would allow the client to do it between sessions, you know, through a reminder, and it would use that same terminology. So having it be so specific was interesting. And I guess another language aspect is, like you said, there are like, okay, so Wobot has a personality, and he has GIFs. And he tells jokes and he plays games and he doesn't capitalize words at the beginning of sentences and doesn't always include periods at the end. Like, there are all these little things, right, that are very specific to Wobot that I wonder how different people would respond to that. Because like, what if I could choose, is there another bot that I could choose that's a little less jokey, that's more jokey, that uses more GIFs? Like, there's all these little things that come into play once you start, essentially, like at this point, I'm talking about creating the relationship that I have with this chatbot.
Right. Yeah, it's not so much about just delivering the content, because if that's what you want, you know, there's tons of videos and there's self-help books out there about, okay, do this thing, and then step one, step two, like a very programmatic progression in learning a new skill.
The trick is the check-in, right? Is that triggering of it so that it comes right to you when you need it, which this also doesn't handle. It doesn't really address the last time that you did something. So it doesn't assume that you're – it doesn't really – at this point anyway, chatbot is good at telling you, I'm still young, I'm still learning.
Yeah.
But one of the things that we know about memory is that, you know, just being reminded every day isn't necessarily – the best way to learn. You aren't necessarily learning it better because you did it five times today versus once a day or spaced out through some sort of spaced repetition. So none of that is really taken into effect. So it is very much just a like a nudge and a nod at it's still, again, it's still better than a book because you have to pick up the book and you have to choose when to do it. And getting those reminders are still helpful, but there's still just better ways to do it.
I mean, then again, I see Wobot as, again, not as a replacement for therapy or seeing a therapist. Definitely not. I mean, and I'm sure the creators would agree too. It is not a replacement for therapy. I do find it helpful, though, being in a space where a nudge is helpful. You know, if everything's perfect and happy and wonderful in your life, Wobot probably isn't for you. If you're in a state where you need to have that kind of that face-to-face counseling, you know, that Wobot probably isn't enough. But, you know, if you are just kind of handling the day-to-day stress of whatever it is, your job, your kids, and you just kind of need a little reminder to take a step back and self-evaluate, I think the nudge is a really good way of describing what Wobot does. Is it's not going to, you know, necessarily cure you of anything, although I'm sure there are some people who have used it to better themselves or to, you know, kind of help themselves out. But it's like having a proactive toolkit at your disposal. Because as you mentioned earlier, Josue, usually when you need to use your skills the most is when you're least likely to call on them. So that was one thing that I wished Wobot had is, again, there was one day where the kid was off the chain and I hadn't slept and, you know, normal new parent stuff. And I wanted to talk to Wobot. I did. I wanted to check in and say, hey, help me out here. And nothing, like it wasn't responsive in the way that I wanted it to be responsive.
Did you try to check in?
I think I said hi or something like that. And you're like, what's going on? And again, it's all very factual, programmatic. It's not a place to vent necessarily. Or at least you can type in whatever you want to say, but don't expect any kind of reflection or support back.
Yeah, there's no insights coming back at you.
And again, as Wobot will remind you, it's a new program. As the developers will remind you, it's a new program. It's developing. So, I mean, I'm not expecting that kind of very intimate and intense feedback from something like this. But I just thought it was really interesting that I wanted it. That even though I know this thing is not real and this thing is just a computer program that is pulling for keywords like tired or stressed or anxious, I wanted it to be more.
I know I read someone, and I don't know if it was the creators, because again, we purposely didn't, I didn't go all the way into the peer review journal or anything like that. But I did read, whether it was an analyst or someone who said, you know, that in itself, it is therapeutic and could, in a way, replace, I may be completely misreading what I read, but it could replace some form of therapy, right? Like it could replace a therapist to a certain extent. And just taking that argument like a little further, I think that I'm of two minds. I do agree that the therapeutic relationship is really important. And I also believe that it doesn't necessarily matter if you're to get things done, right? I'm solution focused, right? Like in my core, just as a person, right? I don't necessarily believe that you have to have that relationship. So I believe that something like this is possible, or that I believe in the potential for tools like this to really help people kind of on their own. But the way I see it now, especially with how limited the technology still is, because this isn't a full-blown AI. This is very much a prompted conversation, right? And it can recognize something. So if you tell it, if it says, how are you feeling? And you go into, you know, essentially journaling mode and you say, you know, you write two paragraphs. If the word happy is in there somewhere, maybe it'll be like, I'm so happy to hear that. And if you say you're sad, and it'll say, you know, well, that's too bad. Do you want to talk about it? But maybe, like you said, if you said exhausted, maybe it doesn't have exhausted yet. It doesn't really know what to do with that. I see its greatest potential as being something complementary to therapy. And I really like it in that sense because there's another program I found called TheraChat, which is more similar to what I was describing, the design that I have, which is something that helps clients between a session and another. Because I think that that's where the most important stuff happens. Like, we can practice something, you know, in a session. You can practice something in a session with your therapist, and that's great. That's a controlled environment. It's perfect. But then when you have to use it for real in the real world, you need to practice that, right? And you need to put that into action. And how do you help that happen? And TheraChat actually has it's designed, and I didn't use it, so I only know a little bit about it, but it's designed so that you do, as a therapist, kind of program it, and then it communicates with your clients, and then all of those chats do actually come back. It is like an extension of the therapist in a way. Like, one of the things I thought about Wobot that, for example, I wanted to see my mood chart, but I couldn't find a way to prompt it to show it to me. And then it automatically shows it to you, I don't know, maybe it's once a week, I think. Is that right?
Yeah.
Right? So it's monitoring your mood throughout the week. But like, I can't see it. But who can? Can my therapist see it? Because there are tools out there for you to share your mood tracking with your therapist. And that's really important, especially because you probably don't remember what your mood was 3 or 4 days ago and what you charted. But it's good to have that record. And so there's all these things where, like, could a chatbot like Wobot connect back to a therapist and be that kind of extension? Could it share information? There's all this potential. And the Facebook Messenger platform it allows you to do a lot, but it's also still very limited. It's so simple to set one up. Like, we could create a Wobot-like system pretty quickly, in just like in an hour. I mean, you've done conversation trees for video games and things like that, right?
Oh, yeah.
So Wobot is exactly the same. And there are programs out there you can use that, you know, it's practically like blocks. Like, you just take a bubble and connect it to another bubble and choose the options and do it like that. So, and it still feels very much like that in its early phases. But again, there's still so much potential. And you mentioned, you know, being on Facebook all the time. Facebook Messenger, like, I have that app on my phone, so it just pings me. It came in like a, you know, through Messenger. So it's like a text message, like any instant message message that comes to me, that Wobot checked in, you know, at the same time every day, just like a friend would. Again, there's like so much potential on different sides and so many different things that can be done. In the end, I actually liked using it every day because regardless of everything I've said, I still got to practice something that I don't usually practice as much as I'd like to.
Yeah. I mean, and again, I think we're being kind of critical of Wobot because, you know, we are clinicians and we do love tech and we want to see something like this succeed because, like you said, it does have fantastic potential. And I know, even though we've recorded our podcast, and that's the reason I was using Wobot, was to prepare for this podcast, I'm probably going to continue to use Wobot and check in every evening, and you know, provided I still feel like I'm getting something out of it. I know one thing that I wish was in there, and maybe the creators of Wobot can hear me, is like, I wish I could, once it gives me the set of tools that like it has, I wish I could pick one tool for it to do every time at the check-in. So for example, the gratitude journaling, I'm always disappointed when it doesn't ask me to do that. Because it's something that I want to do. And I know I could pick up a pen and I know I could do it, but everything is contained within the app. And I, you know, that's kind of part of the process, is there's something in the app and it's all together. So that would be one thing that I would love to see in future renditions of Wobot, is being able to pick maybe your favorite tool to practice nightly, and, you know, at least for a week, and then check back in and see if you want to change tools or something. I do want to say that I really, I enjoy the kind of back and forth, kind of the quirky, playful way that Wobot approaches the topic. And I know that's not going to be true for everybody, but I feel like it's a large part of what differentiates it from me just having some kind of logging app where it goes, hey, it's time to check in, and it prompts you to write something. You know, with Wobot, I feel like that kind of even limited conversation back and forth, and the use of emoji and the use of GIFs and culturally relevant items does a lot to make me want to connect with the chatbot and want to come back to it. So I do think that is It also scratches kind of my game designer itch of it's a playful approach, which I think is more engaging than something that maybe is less playful. Again, with all the caveats of, I am not currently in a state where I am seeing a therapist, and I'm in a relatively stable place and things like that. So the extra support and whatnot is not necessary. The joking kind of lighthearted nature of it seems appropriate from where I'm at, although I do understand that that won't translate to everybody.
So you mentioned that you want to continue using it, and at some point it'll start charging you.
What, really?
Yeah. It's supposed to be 1 month free trial, and then it's $39 a month. So I'll ask you that. Will you pay $39 a month?
Okay. No, absolutely not.
Okay, so this is a big part of the conversation, because the whole reason why I started working on something like this, and I imagine other people have as well, is to make it more accessible. We live in the United States, and the United States mental health treatment is super expensive. And before, a few years ago, it was really hard to get your health insurance to cover it. In other countries, that may not be an issue. And in other countries, it might be worse than here. But here, it's really, really expensive. So $39 a month versus $100 an hour, or even, let's say, $39 per copay per session, that's kind of a no-brainer. Like, yeah, I'd rather pay $39 a month to have something that will help, will be helpful, and still use those, some CBT principles, versus spending 10 times that much in a month to see a therapist. So that's another place where it doesn't make it accessible, right? Not just accessible in the sense that, oh, it's in my pocket and I can, check in whenever I want and practice this. It's also, for some people, this may be one of their only options for CBT because it's just so expensive in some countries. And that's really sad. Like, I don't know, like, if you live in a country where you don't have to pay for health insurance and you can go, you can have treatment and you can go see a therapist, I would say absolutely do that first and then maybe jump into something like, I don't know, if you don't have to pay for medical care, I would say just keep going to a therapist every now and then to check in. That's probably better than paying $40 a month. But that is a factor. Like, how much do you charge? And again, $39 a month, way cheaper than seeing a therapist.
I'm still hung up on this. I'm like going through my profile. I'm like, wait, are you going to charge me? When are you going to charge me? How do I make sure you don't charge me?
Yeah. I was wondering if you'd bumped up against that. And
no.
Yeah. Because it's supposed to ask you after a month. So,
okay, I must not have been using it for a month yet then.
Yeah. And I tried to spam it right to move forward, so I can force a check-in, multiple check-ins during the day. But there are some features that seem to be time specific. So it did get to a point where I was like, it's great that you're checking in so much today, but I'll wait till tomorrow to show you something new. So it does have some sort of control there. So it's not like you only get a certain amount of sessions for the month. It should be based on time. So if you pay $39, I guess you could. At the state that it's at right now, July 2017, it's unlimited check-ins, which is cool, but that's a big factor.
I do understand that they need to make money and that it is cheaper than going to see a therapist, and this is probably my incredibly a very Kelly-centric kind of view, but I don't feel like the feedback I'm getting from Wobot and the interaction that I'm getting from Wobot is worth that much money. Like,
our conversation completely changed after that.
It did. I mean, like, as a free tool, I thought it was great. It's helpful. It reminds me to be mindful, but I could just as easily set my phone. I prefer having that kind of relationship and talking back and forth and seeing the cute GIFs and whatnot. But, for a lot of people, $40 a month still is a lot. I mean, it's better than paying to see an individual therapist, and especially if it's the only access you have. But I don't think the repartee, I guess, the interaction is to that point where I, at least for me, where I would pay for it. And again, that comes from my place of privilege of I'm not in a space where I need something like this. We picked up Wobot as a fun experiment. And I've enjoyed it as that, but I enjoy using it. I just don't want to pay for it, which sounds really terrible because people should get paid for the work that they do. But yeah, I don't know how else to kind of wrap my brain around it.
Yeah, when I submitted my app idea to incubators and competitions, there's always a business model, right? It's like, well, how are we going to make tons of money off of this? I was like, whoa, I don't know. Like that's kind of hard. I mean, it's kind of why I shifted focus towards. It's changed a lot over the past year. But that idea was so hard to wrap my head around. And I think that TheraChat app that I mentioned, the way it works is the therapist pays for it and then provides the service to their clients. And so the therapist is paying for it. And I always thought that something like that would be better, but then the client is paying the therapist, right, for therapy. And that's just an added benefit of the therapy. It's a feature, right, of the therapy. So then, again, if you're in the United States, it's going to be way more than $39 a month. So that is a whole big part of this conversation. I don't know. And that's a business model that could change. I don't know if they're going to – like, at what point – how messed up is it if they start locking certain things behind a paywall, right? So you have to pay – you got to pay to get GIFs, or you got to pay to check in. You can only check in once a week or something like that. Like, how much do you provide for free versus when you're talking about helping people? That's something, I mean, a lot of people struggle with that every day. I don't have any answers. I'm just asking questions here. And speaking of asking questions, I brought up that we were going to talk about this in the Geek Therapy Facebook group, and I got a few comments. So I figured
Oh, yeah, let's review those.
So Patrick in the group, he was asking like how it differs from other programs that have existed like in the past. He mentioned one that I'd never heard of that he thinks is called FRED from like 20 years ago. And we've talked about different robots and kind of simulations in the past. I think that the first thing that comes to mind is this exists within Facebook Messenger, which is like – it's 2017. Everybody has a cell phone. Everybody has free access to something like, you know, to messaging apps. And this contacts you through a messaging app. And that's very different than anything that has come before it. As far as quality or how it was designed, I can't imagine. Other than I'm sure 20 years ago, they didn't have GIFs in it either.
What a dark day.
I know. How do people survive?
They didn't. So... yeah, I mean, I haven't used any other app like this before, so I don't really have a lot to compare it to other than something like maybe Eliza, which is, you know, from the 60s or 70s and Rogerian, basically a Rogerian chatbot that would just reflect your words back to you.
Which we talked about in the past, yeah.
Yep. So, I mean, again, I think it has, you know, modern, up-to-date verbiage and language. It's an interactive, engaging method that has a playful attitude to it and... you know, there is kind of an attempt to build that emotional relationship, although it definitely has its limits. And I think that's something that I haven't necessarily seen before. And as Josue mentioned, the fact that it's a Facebook app, to me, that makes so much sense. It makes it a really powerful tool because especially for people like adolescents who use Facebook a lot, it can be really helpful to have something right there where... I guess another way of saying it is that it takes meeting the client where they're at pretty much super literally because the client's already at Facebook.
Yep. Emily in the group asked, how is it different from journaling? And you touched on that a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, one of the tasks is like a gratitude journal to write down things that you're thankful for that day. So one of the ways it's different than journaling is that my journal doesn't prompt me to write in it. And one thing about Wobot is that it doesn't just prompt you once, it prompts you three times. So it really actually does make you kind of dig in, just even that little bit of a nudge, that little bit of a pressure to dig deeper, I found to be helpful rather than just writing stuff in a journal, which I have done before.
And it's not just a gratitude journal either, because it also asks you what is going on today? Like, just what are you doing
right,
in general?
Right. So even beyond that, there's the general daily check-in of what's going on, how are you feeling, what's your energy level like? And then there's tools that it teaches you along the way. So it links you to there's been a bunch of YouTube videos. It linked to some psychology articles, actually, about the science behind the skill that it's teaching you. So one of the very first things off the top was identifying cognitive distortion. So black and white thinking and you know, future forecasting and things like that. So it is more than journaling. I just happen to like the journaling aspect of it the best.
Yeah, and I keep bringing up the word practicing, right? These are, you're continuously practicing these different things, and it is teaching you, and it might show you a video, and it is trying to teach you and help you to practice. And Becca in the group asked, is it kind of like WebMD, is what she asked.
Wobot didn't say I had cancer, so probably not.
Yeah, or 200 other things. Yeah, it's not, right, so as we've talked, it's definitely not diagnosing you, which is kind of what WebMD has become, right? You tell it your symptoms and it says you may have Ebola or whatever, right?
Anything from laryngitis to death. So
yes, yep, pretty much.
Yeah, it's not a matter of putting in symptoms and getting something back. It's more of looking at your thought process and helping you to learn skills to identify flaws in the process and to kind of reframe and reorient your thinking.
And in many ways, it is really as good as you want it to be, because once it teaches you the basic skill, it still has limitations. But if you take it seriously and you actually talk about how you're feeling and try to do what it says, you are practicing, you know, reframing things in a more positive way. And it is as good as you want it to be. And
it's the same thing with therapy. You get out what you put in to a certain extent. I mean, you can have a fantastic therapist, but if you don't follow up on any of the recommendations, then you can only get so far. So yeah, you do have to take it a bit seriously. I mean, sometimes I joke around with Wobot and throw it a curveball just to see how the underlying system responds. But and I think another thing important to point out is that you don't have to do anything. Wobot will say, hey, do you want to check in? And you can say no later and you can reschedule. It'll, you know, if you say yes, and he'll say, hey, okay, I want to talk about sleep schedules. And this is an intensive process. Are you sure you want to do this? And I said, yes. And so I went down the specific process of like improving sleep and quality of sleep and sleep hygiene and things like that. And so that I like that there is a sense of control and a sense of freedom in just in general. I think that's a really good feature.
Yeah. And I continuously just gave it a thumbs up to kind of see what reactions it got. And I would never do that to my therapist. Just every time they ask me a question, just give them a thumbs up.
Okay, thumbs up, yep.
Yep.
Oh, yep. That would drive me insane.
Yes. Oh, man. So those were questions from the Geek Therapy Facebook group, because we are a podcast on the Geek Therapy Podcast Network. So definitely join us in that group if you're on Facebook, first of all, and if you like mental health, psychology, and geeky stuff such as technology. Or you just like psych tech.
Or you like us, because we're there too.
We're there all the time.
Well, unless you don't like us, and then we're never there.
Yeah, if you don't like us, that's probably not the place to go. If you like Wobot and you want to try it out, you can go to wobot.io and learn more information, or just look it up on Facebook. And I guess you would have to friend it? How did that work? I forget. I did that a while ago. I forgot how that works.
You go to Wobot's Facebook page and you click send a message, and that starts the
That starts
the reaction. And just one last thing to sneak in there, because circling back to the cost. So I was doing some research on the fly, and there are apps out there that give you direct connection for online counseling and online therapy. Like, there's a bunch of them. I think there's one called like Seven Cups, and there's one, let's see if I can find it.
But those are really different, because they actually communicate that you're
with humans.
Yeah.
Well, what I'm saying is that those are the average seems to be about $35 a week. So what you would pay in a month for Wobot is what you would pay in a week to see for unlimited access to a therapist. And I did check; it was unlimited, unlimited check-ins with a therapist. Although I'm sure there's some fine print. And so
there has to be.
The idea that a month of Wobot is equivalent to 1 week of actual like face-to-face, digital face-to-face therapy or text therapy with a human being, I'm not sure. I'm not confident that is an equivalent exchange, at least in the quality. But again, it totally depends on your orientation. If you want some kind of supportive relationship, then the human element, it still needs to be there, in my opinion. If you just want, to figure out, okay, here's the skill, here's how I use it. Here's the skill, here's how I use it. Then I think Wobot would probably be the better alternative. Or not better, but just a cheaper alternative.
And also any of these services where there are real people on the other end, those people are not getting paid enough money if you're only paying $35. And there's all other factors that go into that that are not a part of this show. But just the cost thing, again, it really messes things up, especially coming from the United States where our system is just a mess. Oh, yeah. Go Wobot. Yeah.
I mean, I guess ideally, in an ideal world, we wouldn't need Wobot because everybody could have access to the mental health support that they needed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I still think something like Wobot would be great, but it's as long as everybody has access to mental health services also, then it's great because it lets you practice the things that you learn in therapy.
Yeah.
Standalone, I don't know. I got feelings. I'd love to revisit it. I'm curious to see how it grows and what other chatbots will come up and others that are designed around different types of therapy. Like we haven't seen one. Like, what's the new version of Eliza, right? A Rogerian approach to this. What would it look like? What would that be like? Would I hate it?
Probably, it sounds like.
Probably.
But I would like it.
Well, yeah, yeah. It's like, I'm exhausted. Are you? You're exhausted? Yes, I'm exhausted. You understand me.
Sometimes you just need that connection.
I know, I know. So that's it for PsychTech this week. We're back. For more PsychTech, visit PsychTechPodcast.com. We're at PsychTechCast on Twitter. I am Josue A. Cardona on Twitter. Kelly is Kelly N. Dunlap on Twitter. There will be links to all of the information that we talked about in the show notes for the episode. And again, we are on the Geek Therapy Podcast Network. So check us out. Check out some of the other shows there, including our sister show, Headshots, which is about video games, where me and Kelly talk about psychology and video games. All right, Kelly, see you next time.
See ya.